Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
Hey, Rosh, happy to be here this week. I want to talk to our audience on how they can optimize their company's online standing so they show up in AI search results. Also, I am going to issue a challenge to our listeners. No information on that yet. They're going to have to wait to the end of the episode for that challenge. What do you have going on today, my friend?
So we're kind of in sync today. Why I'm not so concerned about my career in SEO. I think it's all going to work out just fine. And then the other part is, where is AI just not quite there yet? Where is it failing, and what do people have to be looking out for?
Oh, I've got so many things I can say to that, because it's been frustrating.
You know, there's actually a lot of interesting information. Yeah. I have an extra list on stuff, so if we have time, I'll dig into that too. But go ahead.
All right, cool.
What do you got on the SEO front?
Well, okay. So yeah, SEO is a term we've known for years, and it's something that companies have tried to do to improve their standings in Google. But you know, since ChatGPT and these AI programs have come out, a lot of people have kind of seen the writing on the wall that, hey, maybe Google might not be the end-all be-all for searches. And people are starting to search for products and services using their AI, ChatGPT or whatever LLM that they're using. And so I just wanted to talk to our audience about how to make sure your company is showing up in these AI search results.
Sure.
And, the good news, and, like you alluded to earlier, is that a lot of the things that we've been saying for the past 5, 10, 15 years about how to make your company show up online and show up in Google, these are the same things that are optimizing to be able to show up on AI. So first and foremost, the number one, they say, is to optimize your SEO. So making sure your keywords, your website structure, all that's good. And then, quality content. So again, you can't cheat quality. And, you could try to push out as much AI created content and different things like that. But again, that's just a regurgitation of the same information that's already on the internet. When you are coming up with original thoughts and quality content, that's what's going to make the cream rise to the top, as they say. Any sort of videos, podcasts, anything like that, that really helps establish your authority in the field. AI is starting to recognize that you're showing up in then that kind of way. And then a little plug back for myself, being a social media manager, your company's online presence in social media will matter.
Absolutely.
When it comes, because AI is constantly scraping information from social media. Again, that's why we always say AI is biased, AI can be flawed, because it's getting information from biased and flawed humans and individuals on social media. Google reviews, testimonials, any sort of backlinks, stuff like that is always good. Also, here's another step, engaging with AI directly as a company. Letting AI and the cloud know who you are and, giving it that information, giving it links to your website and telling it to learn about you. These are things you can do and stuff that I think we can even dedicate future episodes to talking about exactly how to engage with AI directly. So a lot of the things that we've been saying for forever that you want to do and make sure that you're relevant and looking good, that's what's making you show up, in the AI algorithm. Are there anything, that I missed maybe that you've heard?
No, I think you're right on. I think some of the bigger sites for AI are important. For example, as you mentioned, social media. So if you have information, don't be shy about filling out those about sections in your social media, because that's where it's going to reference and feel more comfortable. So in the world of, let me share some of the information that I have. So 60% of Perplexity citations overlap with top 10 organic results in Google. And that's what kind of gave me that light bulb, like, hey, we're on the right track. And when I look at some of the citations related to where they're getting information, especially when I'm talking about Perplexity, which is really the one that's been growing is quickly, it is showing some of the bigger social media, the Wikipedia stuff, things like that as its reference point, including when I searched for myself, it was pretty much like the big organizations that I had an about or a bio with. So even being involved with organizations in your field, making sure that you have that bio filled out on that international site, for example, or that industry professional site, whatever it may be, look for those opportunities and fill it out thoroughly to let people, and just as important, the AI know who you are.
Right. What I love about that advice is that it's you're controlling your own narrative. You're not letting what other people have written about you online define you in the eyes of AI. You're filling out your bio, controlling your own narrative for sure.
So, you know, one thing that's interesting is that when it comes to Google, Google does not read your content. It's all math. It is all math. Where with the AI stuff, although it is still math, I think there's more of what we might consider traditional reading involved in this. So just because of the language model, obviously, the algorithm within Google is not a language model. But because it is, now we have to also make sure that the information across the web is consistent. You needed to be consistent before, but I think you still need to make sure that if you have changed careers, changed jobs, new products, whatever it may be, you need to make sure to update as much as you can possibly update so it has multiple data points to work off of to share the information versus the 10-year-old information. Because I look back at some of the descriptions when I share some stuff about my or ask questions about my company or me. Sometimes it's 10-year-old information that's like, okay, it's relevant, but not as relevant as the stuff I'm working on today.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So to challenge our audience. So, you know, I've got a toddler here in the house. We're in a real big Frozen kick. So, you know, I'm constantly in the mindset of
Phase. Great.
Oh, buddy. Up and Frozen, and they're on repeat right now. Wall-E, too. That's a good one. But anyway, I digress. So I've got a challenge for our audience to let it go. And so there's so many things.
If you look behind me right here.
There you go. Oh, there it is. I love it.
Right over my shoulder.
I didn't even do that.
So I'm already on the right page with you. Go ahead.
So there's so many things in our life that have just become routine that we're just used to doing. And when I do these speaking events and I talk about AI, one of the biggest messages I try to get across is reprogramming your brain to think about the ways AI can help you. So I'm challenging our audience to, in the next week, find one thing in their life that they can let go and try to have AI help automate. So I'm going to give some ideas really quick. So one of the ones is there are AI tools to help your email management. So if you're somebody who feels like you are just bombarded by emails every day and you want to have some extra tools to help make it so there's some comprehension to these emails and make it so you know which ones you need to reply to first, and maybe even set up some automated replies teaching the AI how you talk and how you interact. That's one way you can relieve some stress, you know, for your work life. AI scheduling and planning, so calendar management, task prioritization. Also content creation and editing. So if you're somebody who really, you know, sits there and builds over content creation and, you know, racks their brain over it, you can let it go and, you know, have the AI build you out these structures of, you know, even short term, long term, all sorts of content plans. Personal finance management, learning and development, home automation. So, you know, these smart devices, different things that we've gotten used to for forever. But, you know, I was helping my father out, you know, when he was recovering from, you know, his surgery. And I noticed that he turned on his kitchen light every night at 7 o'clock. And I was like, Dad, we could just get you an Alexa plug and turn it, you know, program it to turn on at 7 o'clock every single night. And he was like, you could do it. I was like, yeah, we can do that. We can, you know, and plus worried about him standing up, sitting down, recovering from heart surgery. So, so home automation. And then lastly, health and wellness. So there's, you know, fitness, diet, anything that you're trying to control yourself, let it go. Give it over to the AI and see if maybe it can, you know, do your meal plan for the week.
I think you're scaring people with all these letting it go things. But yeah, I mean, you make a good point.
Yeah. So, you know, that's my challenge to our audience. And, you know, we wouldn't mind hearing back from an email. You know, hop onto the Creative Entrepreneur Show or creativeentrepreneurshow.com, creativeentrepreneurshow.com. Send us a message. Let us know what you let go this past week to AI, and we'd love to hear it. So, to toss it back to you for our final topic here, where is AI failing you, Rosh?
Yeah, where is it failing me? Oh, let me count the ways. You know, AI is offering us, it was such a big leap that it seemed like it took over everything and it's going to take over everything. It will take over everything. I just read an article the other day that says, generative AI is coming to your home appliances. Where have we heard that before?
from you every episode.
Very first episode. But where it has, you know, it's not perfect and it has a long way to go for certain levels. It's going to keep coming at us fast. But you may recall Amazon had those stores using AI. You walk in and you walk out with the goods and it just charges you. Well, it turns out they're shutting them down because quite honestly, the AI wasn't working so well. And they actually had about 1,000 human contractors doing the work overseas. And it was really slow and it really just did not work so well. So there are some situations where AI and other technologies just need to do a better job. It's going to take a while for the combination of all of them to work together and to work well. You know, something else that we've been very excited about is Sora, and that's the text to video. Well, honestly, you're going to get a few seconds of good quality imagery, but then it's going to start to fall apart on you. And we've been seeing a lot of these videos out there with, you know, some really good ones. If you've seen the Airhead one with the guy with the balloon head, took him a long time to do. And the problem is sometimes that Sora would make the balloon blue. Well, it's supposed to be yellow throughout the whole thing. Or there'll be just those little things that you see in AI images that are just wrong, just weird. Things are just not the way they should be in this reality. And so you have to edit through that. And ask again, let's do it again, ask again, let's do it again. And then there's, of course, the idea of having the same person from image to image, video to video. Now, Midjourney's starting to tackle that with some new abilities within Midjourney that allow you to keep the same person, but it's not perfect. And so we're going to have to continue to not get too scared about what's coming at us. We're still going to have to direct this. Yes, again, it's going to be a nice add-on. Right now, we've talked about, say, imagery, stock photography, things like that. Pretty much gone, but, you know, I tried to make a few images this morning and I just couldn't get exactly what I wanted with Midjourney and with DALL-E. So, although, let me throw this out there because I think this is something that people will appreciate. You can now edit your images in DALL-E and it works really well. So DALL-E 3, if you have your image, you can now circle an area, put it in edit and circle an area, say remove this and it looks great, or add that. It looks great. It really worked out pretty well. So these types of little things are coming into play and I think we're going to enjoy that. So that's one thing that worked well. But again, a lot of it is, you know, we have some time ahead of us before we're all losing our jobs.
Right. Yeah. And you've got to look at that with the different industries and, you know, everything out there is who's adapting, who's going to, you know, maybe go away, or how are they going to take this technology and go a step further? So, you know, that's hopefully the information that we're trying to give out here week by week are ways to, you know, utilize this technology, not to be out of a job, but to be better at your job, or at least better at your,
I think that's a great way to put it, to be better at your job. Be better at your creativity, take out some of the stuff that you just don't want to, the repetitive stuff, the stuff that you sometimes don't get to go down that creative rabbit hole because, you know, there are like a number of things you need to do first before you really get into the fun stuff. Well, now you can have AI do that stuff or give you that push. Sometimes we just need the idea. And you've mentioned many times, just have say ChatGPT create a list for you. Now pick the one that excites you out of those 10 things. One of them will excite you. Take that and run with it and create something cool.
Yeah. And this is becoming a core function of people's job. I mean, really, you're going to start seeing, you know, people's proficiency in AI on their resume. I mean, if you want to put your faithful listener of the Creative Entrepreneur Show on your resume, go for it. I don't know, you know, if there's any other qualifications that you need at this point, but, you know, it's a skill that's going to be necessary to grow. And, you know, employers are going to look for your proficiency with AI as a marketable, you know, as a skill. So this is, you know, why we're out here spreading the gospel, if you will.
Here is something that came out this week that I thought was interesting from ChatGPT-4. 82% more persuasive than humans when people read the content. content read by a human or created by a human versus content created by the AI, 82% more persuasive. So that I have been depending on, I have taken like about pages of mine, said, hey, distill this or rewrite it. And quite often it's much better. It's still what I want in there. It's still me, but it's much better written with some words that add a little power to what I'm trying to say. So try it out. It's amazing. And don't feel bad. As long as it's still you and representing you, there's nothing wrong with quality.
Nothing ethical. Yeah. That you've done here wrong.
Right. So.
Very good. All right. Well, we had a great guest last week, and we appreciate our listeners reaching out. I mean, we'd love to have more guests going forward. We'd love to see how people are applying this technology and letting it, you know, grow their business and help their clients. So, you know, if anyone, wants to join us and reach out, head on over to our website again, creativeentrepreneurshow.com.
Very good. All right. Have a great week.